6:02, time to visit a Sharif Jewelers for that special Valentine's Day gift. That's your Monday message. Thanks for playing. See you guys Tuesday. Welcome
your
into
Monday
the drive.
Message.
Well, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate, and we're back. We're back. Hey, you know what? We're back in studio. Honestly, the three of us have not been in the studio. I honestly don't remember.
I have not seen this studio for a while.
Yeah, yeah, you were gone for like 2 weeks.
That's true.
Then we were gone last week and joined you. Then you came back here. You were off Friday. That's right. And then, it's been like 2+ weeks.
Has it? I mean, who's keeping track? I spent all weekend trying to get my bearings back on the time and stuff, because aside from, I mean, Katie, you travel all the time, so I mean, you kind of get it, but in addition to the, you know, the time changes and all of that type of stuff, we're constantly doing math all week when we do our time reads, which
right.
is terrible.
Yes.
And we're like juggling things where you record an interview at 3:30 in the afternoon and we're going to play it at 10:30 tomorrow, but that's 8:30 California time.
Yeah.
And you're doing a whole week. I'm still.
And you were drunk.
And that.
I mean, the whole time. That makes me laugh. Yeah, it was the first, because, you know, San Francisco was last year. Phoenix was the year before. In fact, I'm using the station headphones right now.
I was wondering about
cause
that.
Because I have two backpacks at home, you know, that kind of mixed as the week went on last week. So I brought everything. Last night I was like, okay, computer check. I got all my endorsement commercials and everything. Check. Everything's in there. Charger. Oh, my headphones. I have a pair of wireless Beats, BEETS by Dre headphones I picked up in China for $15, but we don't have the wireless capabilities here yet. So yeah, I'm using the old fun ones with no
Those
bass.
Those still work, by the way?
The Beats? Dude, honestly, when we went to China, all they said was don't buy any of the electronics. They're all scams.
Yeah.
So I bought like 4 minor electronic things, like some headphones and different. They all still work.
Yeah.
Oh,
they
that's awesome.
All still work. I'll never go to China again, but if I did, that's all I would do is bring extra duffel bags to buy electronics.
Did you get a bunch of stuff, though?
No, I didn't.
No, I mean,
I didn't because
why.
Everyone scared
yeah.
me off.
You know what stopped working before all your electronics from China is the Falcons offense.
Ah, see, look at Nate. Nate playing the role of Katie there with the transition.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Today is one, you know, and this is always our fun segment here of goofiness. Today is a day where there are some days in this business where it's a tough job, where you have to come up with things, you know, that you have to stretch. I'll fast forward to 4 months from now, and keep this in mind, because 4 months from now, I'll be opening up the show by saying, we got a huge show for you. You don't want to miss it. Newsflash. It's not a huge show. You probably do want to miss it, but we're going to try our best to make it. I'm just saying, in early or late July, let's say, because early July is free agency and all that. In late July, when you've got baseball.
Yeah, okay.
You know, no Olympics this year. Not that was a huge boon last year.
Yeah, no, it didn't give us much.
You know, basketball is still months away. Football is a month and a half.
I think mosquitoes gave us more during the Olympics than anything else.
I'm telling you, it's hard. And sometimes those are the most fun shows, in all seriousness, because you start stretching your legs and talking about philosophical things that turn into great conversations. But when it comes to play-by-play stuff, this is the end. Yesterday was the end of the best stretch from September to yesterday, where you have football, college football, basketball, baseball playoffs, you know, college basketball, everything's happening. Even hockey is in play, right? Which we don't talk about, whatever. So there's that. But today, we would have had an entire show just on the Kings beating the Warriors in overtime after losing to the Phoenix Suns the night before at home. That would have been the whole show today, and it would have been a great show. That gets pushed. I'm looking at our rundown, what we're going to talk about. That's like our D story, which is crazy because most Kings fans consider that to be the biggest win of the year. You've got the Super Bowl, and you have everything beyond the Super Bowl that's going to fill the entire day. And Sean Salisbury will join us at 8 a.m. to discuss part of that. And I love Sean, and I'm glad Sean's coming on. But, Christ, we don't even need – you know, Sean's just like cherry on top. Sean was hot take cannon last night, as per usual, after the Super Bowl, and we'll share some of those with him. Here's what we got going on with the Super Bowl, and we'll get to this in Morning Brew, but there's a ton of stuff. You've got the biggest comeback ever. You have arguably the best game ever. You have the discussion as to Tom Brady and his legacy, Bill Belichick and his legacy. You have Kyle Shanahan, the Niners' new head coach. Did he choke that or contribute to that Super Bowl being completely choked away? And was it the biggest choke, considering the level in sports history?
I mean, the Falcons have had some good ones, dude.
Dear Lord, if I'm the Atlanta fan, can you imagine what it's like being the Atlanta fan today?
At least this time it was Tom Brady and not Colin Kaepernick.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, that's like, come on now. Yeah. I just,
the Atlanta fan is so sad today.
I said, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
He's pissed.
Dude, okay.
Just devastated.
I don't know how he's going to go on with his day.
I was pleasantly surprised at how confident Atlanta was when they came out because they're a really good team. They should have confidence, right? But you're going up against the Patriots and they had like young guys, right?
Yeah.
They had young guys. And I'm like, okay, that could be something.
Love young guys.
Yeah, that could be something that maybe out of the gates, it's either going to work for you or against you. It worked for them out of the gates.
It did.
I think they were too young to know better than to like really put much thought into the whole thing. However, when the Patriots started gaining momentum, I think that it started to hurt them to a certain degree.
That's when the bright lights got in play.
Yeah. I know when I knew. As soon as they scored and made it 28-12, there was there was 10 minutes left. Yeah. There was like, dude, it's on. It's going to happen. Like that you could see the Patriots defense, the pass rush was starting to come and they started getting stops. It all happened so quickly, but you could see it coming. The Falcons were clinched.
Have you ever seen the Patriots and Tom Brady specifically, look so mediocre as he did in the first half?
I'm sure there's a regular season game here and there where they didn't look great, but they got punched right in the cojones.
Yeah, I mean,
right out of the gate.
I'll go you one more. Like I thought he was worse than mediocre.
Yeah.
I mean, he was flat out bad for almost the first 2.5 quarters of the game. Not only was he missing passes, but he was slow
timing,
on reads.
Like everything.
You have to give the Falcons defense credit because you don't get a guy like Tom Brady to hesitate like that on his reads unless you're throwing something at him that he hasn't seen before. It was so strange. But then once he kind of started to feel a rhythm. Again, that's when you knew.
I kind of knew though. Like I had a feeling, even though the halftime score, obviously, it was all Falcons. They had all the momentum, everything. I kind of had a feeling the second half was going to be drastically different, because I'm sitting here going, "Is there anyone better in the NFL at making halftime adjustments than Bill Belichick? They're going to figure this out. They're going to figure out whatever it is that the Atlanta defense is throwing at them, and they're going to completely look different in the second half."
I feel like today's going to be filled with, myself included, with people that are going to be tempted, like what you just said, Nate, what you just said. I was like, I know that when it got to this point, I just felt.
I got receipts.
Yeah,
brother.
And that's the thing.
Yeah, it's like, you got receipts.
It's like nobody felt that. You felt it because it's a fairy tale and because it's the Patriots.
I absolutely did. I'm sitting there like, the Patriots can't be that
all
bad.
Right, so please break down for me when it was 21-3, specifically citing plays and tendencies, why you thought the Falcons were going to blow it.
I didn't say
the Patriots were going to make it a better game. Excuse me. I want to put words
because
in
it's the Patriots, and I'm sitting there going,
right,
okay.
Because it's the Patriots.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I didn't actually think it.
I'm not saying
that I expected the Patriots to come back and win, but I was like, there is no way that this team is going to get absolutely blown out by the Falcons. There's no way.
Okay.
Oh, dude. You're starting. It's 6'10". You're really going to start with this crowd?
It's actually 6'11". Time for that special Sharif Jewelers Valentine's Day gift. Get down today. All right. So we'll talk about that throughout the day. Everyone's premonitions. Although you do have receipts.
No, I'll give you that. Absolutely.
Just because
right,
I didn't pick up my phone and place a bet on it doesn't mean that it doesn't count.
No.
I'm not. Go ahead.
I mean,
I'm not going to say that that's any sort of definitive thing. I'm just giving you a hard time. But, I mean, everyone felt the momentum shift. And to stand on Katie's side, 28-3 at halftime, that's too much of a deficit. It's the NFL. There's always something that happens in the second half in a game like that. When the teams are that equal, it tends to even out. But to say this is – because I thought the same thing about the Packers 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And that was dead wrong.
Here we go. Exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, I think it's okay to go, well, it's the Pats. There's too much experience. They can't go out like this. It's not going to be 42-6 or something like that. Mm-hmm. My timeline was filled yesterday with people like, you just can't count them out. I knew this was going to happen. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You didn't know. You thought maybe that was a possibility.
The Falcons probably knew it was going to happen.
The Falcons apparently did think it was going
to
happen.
Anyone else think it was extremely awkward when Matt Ryan went over to kind of try and congratulate Tom Brady? Like, and he's surrounded by media, like right after the touchdown happened. And he's trying to kind of shake his hand, and Tom Brady kind of like, dude, like, step away. Like, step away. And I was like, is he saying it's not over yet? Does he think there's going to be a review? Or is he like, dude, it's my moment. Like, no, step away. Step out of my light.
I didn't see that. But oh, my God. It's tough to imagine because I know they're pals.
I know. That's why I was like, I think maybe he's like, dude, it's not over. Let him. There
might
be a
replay.
Maybe
he's like, we'll talk back there. Get away from the cameras. I don't know.
Yeah.
I thought it was uncomfortable. It is incredibly interesting. And as you just witnessed in the first 12 minutes, today is going to be filled with debates and hot takes and screaming and yelling and fun. And that is why this job is so freaking fantastic. And I will submit to you the theme of today. I think we just witnessed the greatest 12 months in sports history. I think we just witnessed the greatest 12-month stretch in the entire history of sporting competition. Oh. And we'll talk about that all day long on The Drive, back in 3 minutes. Sports 1140 KHDK. Kevin Harlan, the Westwood One call. The Patriots win in a thrilling, thrilling fashion. Overtime, first Super Bowl overtime game in history. And, yeah, that's going to be shockingly the theme of your show today as we break down everything having to do with that ball game, the choke, the comeback, and the legacies that were established or cemented.
No thoughts,
Katie? What?
No, because if I have thoughts, you're going to say no. Everyone had those thoughts, and they're not real. Everyone's going to say that.
Nate, do you have thoughts?
It was. You know what? Like, I'll say this. There was a moment where
it
was worried.
It doesn't matter anyways. We're all screwed.
I was worried. Do you remember the Super Bowl several years ago with the Broncos, and it was just a blowout, and it was awful, and it was boring? Like, there was a moment, like, in the first half, I was like, God, please don't let it be one of those. Please don't. And it wasn't. It was the greatest in recent memory, at least for me, maybe the best all time. But
best
of course,
time.
I haven't seen them all.
You know, and this is what parody results in, is games like this. Like, we bitch and moan all year long about too many 7-9 teams, too much mediocrity. No one really separates themselves. But we're going to talk about it in the show. But you see it in every sport now. These championship games are as good as any game gets. It comes right down to it at the end. And as much as I hate the NFL and the playoffs have pretty much sucked this year, I found myself as I was turning off the TV last night going, well, NFL, you've done it again.
Damn you.
You got me.
You sound like Arthur Blank looks.
Oh, how hard was that to watch on the sideline?
You'll never get me, coppers.
That was amazing.
I like Arthur wife Blank. Were down there for like the last 6 minutes of the fourth quarter or something like that.
Those two and Matt
looked,
Ryan on the
painful.
Sidelines. Oh,
all right,
my
and,
goodness.
And again, and we've
agony.
Too much stuff to talk about here, and we have to move on. But was I the only one? Maybe I was. I got in the very beginning when they wheeled out old President Bush and the White. That got me. I was okay, all right. That's, you know, it's Houston. He's coming out. Yeah. He's
out of the hospital.
Very old looking.
Yeah.
Very old looking, but still. And then whoever the hell did what was it? The Hamilton people that did America the Beautiful. In the beginning, that, I think we have that. So, Matt, I think that's in the sound, isn't there, somewhere? That was freaking fantastic.
There was lots of things that were fantastic.
A lot of things to cover.
Okay, that was an awesome game.
But
the Kings won. No, I have a real question here.
Okay,
and maybe you can help me. I know you weren't there, but you guys can maybe help a little bit. I was so proud of the Kings fans for how loud they were, right? But it's crazy to me because I was sitting there like before the game, I'm like, I just see Warriors fans.
Right.
Is there something that I'm missing here?
What it sounded like on TV.
I'm laughing because I was watching on the flight, and I actually tweeted out, I was like, this sounds like a Warriors home game that an above-average amount of Kings fans traveled to go see. And I will say this. I had an official from the Kings text me and go, are you here? And I said, no, I'm watching on a plane. And he or she said, you have, I'm paraphrasing, you have no idea what you're talking about. It's very, very loud. On the broadcast, sorry, Nate, I'm skipping here, but on the broadcast, I will share this one together.
Yeah, I was going to say it.
It sounded like domination by Warriors fans through the first at least two, if not three quarters. On the broadcast.
Yeah, but, you know, the Kings got the win, so screw them. And they spent, as I said, on Saturday, let all those fans show up, man. I don't care. They can spend their dumbass money in our building and watch our team win.
The third and fourth quarter was so loud. So loud for the Kings. This is what I'm saying. Like, it kind of reminds me of those people. I'm like, is it a real thing where you have King/Warrior fan? And the whichever one is really doing well and winning
could
is the one
that you
spend
the whole show on that.
Yeah, but that, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, to me, it was, there were so many Warrior fans there. Like, they walked out and took the floor, and the place erupted. And it was like, what in the world is going on? And then in the third quarter, I'm like, all the cheers are for the Kings.
Yeah.
Like, it's so loud in here.
The
like,
Warrior
did they
fans change
did,
jerseys?
They all changed jerseys and put the Kings one back on.
We'll talk about that later as well. Jesus.
That's the something radio network. Someone help me cite that. We got to know where that comes from.
Sure. No idea.
But, you know, more Super Bowl stuff. The 49ers have a new head coach, basically, but he arrives with some questions after some questionable decision-making last night at the end of that one. I guess, what do you guys think of that?
The questionable decision-making? Honestly, let me just put it like this. Is it just because I'm a dumb baby, but every time I hear a foreign call, which I love, as it's well known, I think Spanish calls are the best calls there are, period, end of statement. But my favorite part is always like when it's like super other language going crazy. And they're like, Atlanta. Like, I love it when they take the English word and it's like perfect. Yeah, we'll get into Kyle Shanahan a little bit later and whether or not that's
that might be like a throughout the week thing.
Yeah, that's there's a lot to stretch out through this entire week. And the entire day. So many angles, so much to talk about, so little time. When we get back, we'll get into that. We have some stats, sights, sounds, all that. A plethora, if you will, as El Guapo said, and Three Amigos, a plethora of statistics and did you knows to get to next. We get into the Super Bowl on the drive. Sports 1140 KHTK. Well, that was quick. August 15th. Lady Gaga will be playing Golden One Center on her Joanne tour that was just announced today.
Joanne.
I don't know.
I think that's her mom's name or something.
Okay. I don't know.
I'm not a little monster.
I don't know any of that. I know this. I know that the New England Patriots did win their fifth Super Bowl, and that is no surprise really to anyone. Everyone knows they won their fifth Super Bowl is my point. What is interesting is their margins of victory. They beat the Rams for their first Super Bowl 20-17. They beat the Panthers for their second 32-29. They beat the Eagles 24-21. That was their third. Then they beat the Seahawks by 4 a couple years ago and then in overtime by 6. The margins of victory combined for the Patriots in their 5 Super Bowl victories are less than half of what the 49ers' margin of victory was against the Broncos when they beat them 55-10.
Onions!
They're all very, very tiny margins. And say this about the Patriots, whatever you may think, if the Patriots are playing in a Super Bowl, or more point, if they win the Super Bowl, because we all forget about when they got their ass beat by the Bears in the 80s, but they will play a good Super Bowl. It will be a good Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. It didn't look like it yesterday, and it ended up being... there's so much hyperbole, guys, on Monday after the Super Bowl, which can we all agree with everything going on in this country? The one thing that could happen that would be great is if we could just get an executive order immediately that made today a holiday. I think we'd
we would get today as a holiday.
We would in this room
and in this industry and in
I'm thinking
like
of the people.
Martin Luther King Day, it was a holiday. We still worked, you know, like.
Sometimes we're all engaged in the same class struggle, you guys.
Yes.
There's all kinds of hyperbole.
Oh, Lord.
Was it the greatest Super Bowl ever?
Man.
It's the best one I've seen.
Well, it's the only overtime game.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history.
Biggest choke in Super Bowl history as well.
You had the greatest catch in Super Bowl history. You had one of the top right before that.
Hold on a second.
You had right before that.
That's a good conversation.
one of the top five catches by Julio Jones.
Yes.
I would rank them as such. You got, and in no particular order,
sure.
David Tyree,
yep.
Julian Edelman, mm-hmm. Julio Jones, and Santonio Holmes.
Yep. I'm with you. Now, you think the Edelman catch is better than the David Tyree catch?
Yes.
I do.
How come?
Because he did it through
defenders.
He did it through three defenders, legs and hands. Like, it was insane.
And it's so tough to compare those two things, but the effort to put in by Edelman, like, I know that Tyree wasn't slacking, right? But, you know, Harrison was coming at him. He just reached up, he pinned the ball. That was a great play. When that ball got tipped, what Edelman did to even get his hands on that ball was next level type of effort. That's championship winning effort.
He had
There's no other way around
feet
it.
In his face. Arms coming at him, like it was through multiple body parts. He lost the ball and was still able to catch it and secure it before hitting the ground. He was so worked up yesterday. So I don't know if you can, like, I can.
David
it's
Tyree
like he's a
got
player
help
that
from the defender.
Can
Edelman
will
didn't.
Himself to do it.
I think the correct answer is, weirdly enough, and I'm going to channel my inner Christensen here, I think they're exactly the same. I think
pretty close.
I think they're 100% tied, especially when how eerie it is. It wasn't just a catch. It was the situation surrounding those catches that were pretty much exactly the same, keeping a drive going that had it ended there, had there been a pick, that game is over. We're celebrating the Falcons. We're celebrating the Patriots being 19-0 without the Tyree catch.
The situation
they're the exact
same
catch to me.
Oh, yeah, no, but hold on. I see what you're saying, and I'm curious. And this is, I will take no offense to you saying you're channeling your inner Christensen.
Yes.
And then admitting that
you're straddling.
I don't
your
understand why you're having a hard time with it, because I'll channel my inner Dave and be like, pick one. It's not the same.
I just can't. Don't put me in that position.
No, but
I can't.
But seriously, like, the situation was the same, but the catch was not.
It's just tough for me.
One was going backwards, right? And the other one was going forward.
Sure.
Like, there was
more
defenders.
You have David Tyree going back on a defender who had position, getting the ball, pinning the ball against the guy's freaking helmet while his arms were spread, so he can't exactly grip the ball as well as you normally would be able to do, and falling backwards on the ground while pinning the ball to the damned helmet. Like, that Tyree catch is arguably the greatest catch in sport in NFL history, much less in the Super Bowl, to keep everything going. A year from now, I may say the Welker catch was better. And for me, the best part of the Welker
You'd be
catch.
Wrong.
The Welker
You'd
catch.
You'd be wrong,
Welker.
Sir.
Hey, listen, Welker, Edelman, come on. Let's be honest.
We're all there.
Okay, Danny Amendola, I don't know.
He played super well, too.
Whatever white guy on the Patriots that caught the ball, I think they were. The greatest thing about the Edelman catch to me was the second grab.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The second grab, and then the thing. And for a second, I looked at it, and you know how you could see the tip of the ball?
Just
nudge the ground. And I'm thinking, don't do this. Uh-huh. Don't NFL this thing. Just, that is a freaking catch, dude.
How about being able to make the correct call
the first time?
Live,
oh, bro.
No.
Listen, you heard the word semen on a national broadcast more than you've ever heard it in your life, because former referee Jerry Semen, I believe it's his brother, was the guy that ran in. And emphatically,
it's a catch.
So not only did you have it on the broadcast, but then afterwards you had, I found out that Jerry Seaman's brother is a member at this golf course, club, whatever, and they went into his family. His wife is the current club champion. I mean, they went into detail about this ref who ran from the sideline full sprint and goes, that's a catch. And I'm doing the catch sign right here.
It was amazing that they were able to make that live. But
yeah,
you're right. The second kind of
that was the most amazing thing to me. But it was
Julio Jones, man, that pass too. Like
that was
even
okay.
The fact that
it was
great, and then the Edelman thing happened. You know,
and that's kind of why I put that with the Holmes catch too, is because those were kind of the exact same play. Only Julio's didn't result
Both
in a Super Bowl winning touchdown.
Yeah,
just amazing throw that can only go in one possible spot and be caught by one person in one possible way. But I'll tell you why I lean towards Edelman over Tyree. It felt to me there was a lot more good fortune involved in David Tyree's catch, where with Edelman,
he had to fight for that.
Yeah, that was effort.
But the Julio Jones
real gym
pass.
Rat, that Julia, that Julian Edelman.
Wes Walker was great, too.
Scrappy hustler, that guy.
The Julio Jones pass, I think there was two components that made that a great play. Not only his ability to catch it and stay in bounds, but right. also the fact that Matt Ryan could even make that play. Because he came yeah. out of the pocket, he scrambled, he was off balance. It was very Aaron Rodgers-esque, and he nailed it. Like, there was a thread that, like, he threaded the needle, and I'm like, that's not Matt Ryan. Like, he doesn't do that. Like, there was, yeah.
Marcus and Dean, we see you on the line. 339-1140. I haven't even thrown out the phone numbers. If there's ever a day for us to all participate with each other, it's today. 339-1140, 44-1140 on the text line. When we get back, we'll touch on the Kings versus the Warriors. We got to do that with a little bit of sound and recap, but we'll get your calls next. But before that, a word from Nate and AT&T. We'll be back in 5 minutes right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Did you catch Un Touch back?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I caught Lewis.
That's the opening kickoff.
I thought that was part of the song.
Hey, did anybody else feel bad towards the end of the game when Deion Lewis was running out the clock and he kind of did the dive out of the sidelines? And the announcer said, Joe Buck said it, and I thought it was like, oh, look at him doing a little showboating at the end of the game. No.
That's what I thought that was.
I think everybody did. Nope, he jacked, isn't he? That was
yeah.
a little scary on a play that okay, first off, that was a meaningless play, right?
Yes.
And they tried to run a little trickery.
Yes.
And so when they first snap it, it's like, oh, we go.
Did you for a split second when they ran that play, did you think at all, oh my God, could they do it?
Yeah.
Like, does Belichick have this crazy, cheaty, illegal play saved?
Before I realized Lewis had the ball, I thought it was a fumble rooski. I'm like,
right,
it's over. And really, who knows if he hadn't buried his knee in the turf or something. Like, he had a cutback lane. He saw it, but...
Guys, is this live right now?
Yes.
Do we have Brady and Goodell on the podium as there, or is this, no, this isn't live. This is last. Is this live? It is live.
Yeah, it's live.
The MVP presentation in Houston, Texas. Roger Goodell and Tom Brady.
This is awesome. I was so disappointed last night that there was zero interaction.
Oh, and Goodell like grabbed Brady to
like,
come
get over here.
Oh, that's awkward looking. Wow.
There was no handshake at the end either.
Did Goodell just go in for the handshake and
Brady put his hand in his pocket?
Wow. Wow.
Okay, but...
Is that Brady and Goodell or is that KJ and Vivek?
Wow.
What the hell?
How awesome was it, though? I mean, during the Lombardi Trophy kind of, you know, handoff, if you will, when they I'm getting very congested.
Yeah.
When they introduced Roger Goodell and it was just like... Boo! Like the entire time he was talking to Kraft,
it was a boo the entire time. You mean this? Okay, I'm bored already. Let's go to the phones.
339-1140.
Tom Brady on the MVP award. I think James White deserves it.
I think Marcus deserves it for being the first guy on the phones. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, you know what? A better Marcus, because the other Marcus Wahlberg, left the game early because his kid was sick. Yeah.
Well, my name is actually Mark.
Oh, well, okay.
Oh, well, hi, Mark.
It says Marcus up here, so Mark, I got you.
It's cool, man. Don't worry about it. Before I say anything, I just moved to Sacramento from Stockton, but I still have to commute to Stockton for another couple of months. My favorite part of this is that I get to listen to more of your show.
Look at you.
You're the best caller ever.
Yes.
And I just realized that when I got in the car this morning, because this is the first day of my commute.
Mm.
Well, enjoy it.
I will.
Thank you.
I am a Patriots fan. This was not the greatest Super Bowl ever.
Really?
It was not. And the reason why is because the Patriots, they were not competitive for three-fourths of the game.
Sure.
I think it was the greatest comeback ever. I think this is one of the greatest Super Bowls ever. And there's a lot of great aspects to it. But as a whole and totality, I don't think we can say it's the greatest ever. And that's all I got to say, guys. You guys have a great day. Keep doing good.
Interesting.
That's maybe the best call in the history of this show. Ask History will help you. There's no That's doubt right. about it. Dean.
David.
Deanus.
Nate.
Dean.
Hey, Tom.
Good morning.
Morning. Hey, first off, the Kings pissed me off because I went to the game on Friday and they looked awful stretches of that game, and then they man up and beat the Warriors.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a good win. I'm
happy. I know.
But, you know, I'm a semi-old guy.
Yeah.
I think the Steelers-Cowboys, Jackie Smith dropping the ball in the end zone was a better Super Bowl, but this was certainly the best comeback ever.
Dean's calling to talk about how new athletes would dominate old athletes.
See that, Dave? I have to say, your Twitter fight with the Niners fans was killing me last night on who was better. I mean, they even got into DeBartolo. I was cracking up laughing.
Dude, you're such a good person, Dean, because Nate and I secretly just mute Dave during
certain... I don't blame you. I think you should. You should. I think I still have it in my bio. Why would you possibly follow me on Twitter? There's no reason to. I would mute the hell out of me because people get me, Dean. I'm the easiest guy to troll. And I don't even...
You get got?
And they're, yes. And they're not even trolling. And I got guys that I don't respect and guys that I even... One of the guys I respect more than anything, Steve Tebbs.
Tebbs went after you?
The funny thing with you saying that is when I saw that happening, I'm like, oh, God, they got their hook in Dave.
They did.
He's hooked.
They did, Dean. And yeah, Tebbs. Well, Tebbs didn't go out. I mean, it was very cordial. Uh-huh. But Tebbs and I were arguing about Montana Brady. And I hate...
Oh, yeah.
And I hate... I set myself up for it because I say Brady's the greatest of all time. I'm setting my... Especially in this area.
Right.
But it's like I have to disclaim every single time I put it in there practically, like, I'm a Niner fan. I've always been a Niner fan. I'm a Joe Montana guy. Like, I'm not saying this as a hater. I love Joe Montana. But
I don't think it's a discussion.
I don't think it is either.
But I mean, I'll say the same thing I said to the guys I golfed with yesterday. Tom Brady can be the greatest quarterback of all time, but he's not Joe Montana.
I agree with you 100%.
Can it be
also
that simple?
Not Jake DeLome?
Right. Well, I mean.
I know what you're saying.
It's the same way that Peyton Manning can be the most prolific quarterback of all time, but he's still not Tom Brady.
No.
You're not that guy. LeBron James. Dude, is there a bigger freak in the history of basketball?
He's arguably still not Michael Jordan.
Exactly. Yep. Never right. going to be MJ.
Jake, you're on the drive.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey.
Good morning.
Hi. Hey, I really enjoy the chemistry and diversity of the three of you.
Oh, thank you.
And
this all makes for great radio, especially when everybody's being human and showing the humanness when they're on the national stage. You know, I got a couple things that is in my craw about poor Ryan. I mean, the guy's out there at the second half doing the coin toss, and there's several Patriots, and he's by himself. Where's the team? Instead of the greatest football, you know, Super Bowl, this is like the greatest unraveling of something that shouldn't have happened, but it did. And the catch, I disagree, because he had a lot of help from the Atlanta Falcons, like panicking. They were in panic mode for like 8 minutes of the game. But anyhow, makes for great radio. Here we go.
Thank you, Dan. I don't know if you can help what the Falcons did. I mean, Edelman still had to make the damned catch.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if the Falcons had giant golf balls in their throat. You're talking about your foursome. We should
mention
this.
Is he not just a straight badass?
Who, Edelman?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
The entire game.
Yes.
How big is he? Like 5'10", maybe?
If in heels.
He acts like he walks. He's like, oh, I'm 6'8". I'm going to beat all your asses. Like, that is exactly how he acts. His demeanor is so much bigger than the human being that he actually is.
Like Matt George.
Yes, just like Matt George. He turned around and looked like, who are you talking about?
I want to thank everybody. We got to get this in yesterday for showing up at the big game golf tournament.
Yeah.
I was tired as hell. I just landed the night before. I know we all were. And, you know, Super Bowl and all that. We were afraid it was going to rain. Couldn't have gone better. Had an absolute blast. Some awesome prizes given out, too. Congratulations to the guys who got the Disneyland tickets. They got all those passes. We had team-signed Sharks jerseys from last year. And, by the way, Nate, you were talking about your foursome you played with. Did your foursome give you tamales?
No.
Because mine did.
They did buy me drinks.
I have them at home right now.
Jealous.
Our foursome gave us a giant, like, hefty bag of tamales. Katie was nice enough to leave me two.
Yep, sure did.
She took them all and left me two.
Well, there's a reason behind that.
Yes, because you're a pig. We'll take a break. Yeah. We'll come back and talk about that
fatty,
in four
fatty,
minutes
Katie.
On the drive there, fatty. Sports 1140 KHDK.